Matthew 16:18, the Lord indicated when he said that upon this rock I will build my church, that he was intended of that of a collection. Church is a term, it's a collective noun, it collects saints. And just like a chain is just a series of links. A link by itself is not a chain, but you put those links together, it becomes a chain. The church is in the same category. We, in our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it deals with the relationship that we have, first of all, between us and our God. In that individual relationship, the Ethiopian eunuch, after he had obeyed the gospel, was on his way back to Ethiopia. He was a Christian. That's what he was. He was not part of a particular church on a local basis, but he was a part of the body of the church that Jesus said that he would build. And so the church is made up of saints. And so when we come together, we don't go to church. We are the church. And the church assembles together for the purpose of fulfilling those matters that the Lord has authorized his children to do on a collective basis. And so that's what we do. Last week I had an article in the flyer, there's some still back there if you didn't get a copy of that, that dealt with the Apostle Paul, that when he'd go to a city, we know in Acts chapter 9 verse 26 that he essayed to join himself to the disciples, or he desired to join himself to the disciples. Here was a matter of where he was joining a particular group of people that were devoted to the Lord. That's what they were doing. We have within society, the one within which we live, that we have numerous collective that are coming together today. Same hour, same time. All coming together for the purpose of serving the Lord. Question is, if the Apostle Paul came to our city, where would he go? To whom would he assemble as far as his disciples are concerned? Everyone, say, this is where he would go. Everyone. Different doctrines, different practice, different beliefs, but everyone would claim that that is where the Apostle Paul would go if he essayed to join himself to the disciples, of where he was seen going in and out. He was working with them and functioning with them. Now we find individuals select the group that they will work with on a local basis for various reasons. It may be because it's next door. I used to work with a fellow that wherever he moved, when he would get his new place, whatever church was the closest, that's where he would go. That was his gauge. Or you find individuals say that that's what my family was, my mother and father, grandma and grandpa, that it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Now we fall into that category that a very small portion of individuals will move from one collective to another. One, in our vernacular today, a denomination or a different group to another. They believe the first thing they hear. And that's what we do. You hear a story, if you've got a story to tell, you need to tell it before somebody else gets the opportunity. Because they're going to believe the first story they hear, whether it's right or wrong. Right? And you'll be gauged based upon that first story that was heard. And so we need to understand that our reasoning for assembling together in a given place with a particular people has to be based upon more than what I feel, what I think, what I suppose, or what looks good, or they're just happy people. Years ago, probably 30, 40 years ago, I don't remember, time passed quick, that they started with community churches. The community churches rose up because people quit going to church. So what they did was that they went out into the public and they asked them, what would you need in order to start attending church today? And so they identified the principles of entertainment. Right? They wanted the entertainment. The social aspects of it, of what would be available to it, and that sort of thing. One of them was that said, I want to leave feeling better about myself than what I did when I got there. Well, we understand that's going to be determined by our relationship to our God, because we'll even go back to Cain and Abel. When Cain had killed Abel, and the Lord had told, had asked Cain, why is your countenance falling? He said, if you will do what's right,
your countenance will be lifted up. And so we find that when we come together as the body of Christ, it's not for the purpose that we're going to feel better about ourselves. It's the fact that we're going to make sure that we're doing what the will of the Lord would have us to do, and that we know that we're in a proper relationship with our God, and therefore the feeling will come later on, that we've done what the Lord would have us to do. But we have to have a basis upon which we do what we do, who we associate with, what we believe, what we practice, because that's what separates men and women, political groups, religious groups. That's what separated the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They believed different, and therefore they acted different. And so we need to make sure for ourselves that when we are involved with the group, that we can support the group. As we find that Jude said, where he would contend earnestly for the faith that was delivered once for all, are we able to support it? Are we able to defend it? It is something that is important to us, not just something we do one day a week, but something that will come in daily in our service to the Lord. And so that's what we have been considering within this particular series about the church, of what I need to know about the church on a universal sense, as well as on the local sense, because God is not going to make a mistake as far as those who are His. Now, you can deal on a local area. You may have people that are attending that are not in a proper relationship with God. Right? You may have people that are not allowed to be among your number that are in a proper relationship with God. And so the local sense is made up both of that of maybe the righteous and the wicked. Right? But the universal, God will make no mistake as those who belong to Him. And so we come together in this capacity that we might prepare ourselves to edify one another, build us up. We're people of like precious faith. We're looking at the same goal that we have in mind of living godly and righteously in this life, and also enjoying that of the life which is to come. And we do that through the teaching and admonishing within the songs, hymns, and spiritual songs of what we sing, the Bible classes that we have, the sermons, if you will, within as we investigate the Word of God. I'll set it forth. Your responsibility is to make sure that what I said is correct, according to the will of God. And if there's a problem, you let me know, and we'll correct whatever needs to be corrected. So we're looking at the identity of the church. How would you know the church, on the local sense, if you saw it? There has to be a gauge by which we can know what the church is. We noted last week in reference to this that the churches of Christ, churches of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, which was at Corinth. We have 1 Thessalonians 2:14, the churches of God which are in Judea. And Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ. Excuse me. Here's a matter of what the church was called. Could be just the church that's set forth within the Scriptures. And so when we look at this matter, we kind of see that it may do us well to understand that the may do us well to understand that in reference to the Scriptures that we have a responsibility to know what doctrine is, to know what it is. There is something in a name, and what's in the name used to. There was a time that you knew what was taught inside, and that's not the case anymore. But there is something to a name. That'd be a good place to start. That doesn't mean that's what it is. Just because you have a shingle that's hanging out on the street that says the Church of God or the Church of Christ or whatever the case is, does not designate that what's being taught and practiced inside is according to the will of God. But it is a good place to start. We find also that the doctrine in the Scripture is very important. We find in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1 that Moses, when the children of Israel are about to go into the land of Canaan, that Moses has his last conversation with them. And this is a psalm of Moses, if you will. And that this psalm identifies
It's prophetic as well as dealing with their immediate situation that they were in. Because we find in Deuteronomy chapter 32 that Moses said to them, he said, "Give ear, ye heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender grass, and as the showers upon the herbs, for I will proclaim the name of Jehovah. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Justice and right is he." This sets forth the principles as far as life is concerned, that we have a responsibility to ascribe unto the Lord that which is right, that which is according to his will. And this matter of ascribe in dealing with that is to give him the glory and the honor that's due unto him as our Creator. In Psalm 29, we find this is set forth, the 29th Psalm, identifies this principle of ascribing unto Jehovah that which is due him, because he is just and he is right. And so Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "Ascribe unto Jehovah, O ye sons of the mighty. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto his name. Worship Jehovah in holy array." And so this matter of ascribing unto the Lord that which is duly his, that which is right, and how we ought to behave ourselves and how we ought to identify. And that's going to set forth within our respect and our function in reference to doctrine. We find that doctrine determines what a man believes and what he practices. That which you believe, you're going to respond to. And when you do that, you practice it. That becomes your life. That becomes your character. That becomes who you are. So many individuals think that when they're young, and the phrase has even been made that when I get old and I don't have anything else to do, then I'll serve the Lord. That day never comes. And it's not like a light switch. By the time that you are old, you have developed your character. You have developed that which makes you who you are. And there's not a matter of a wicked man just flipping the switch and now he's righteous. Or a righteous man turning it off and now he's wicked. It doesn't happen that way. It happens through a slow process of determination within the life. The writer of Ezekiel identifies when the Lord said that if the righteous become wicked, that all their righteousness will not account. Or that if a wicked man become righteous. But it's not one that just happens with the flip of a switch. What you become and who you become is going to be determined by what decisions you make today and how you practice those decisions of what you make. And that you will come to a time in your life of where the choices that you make are truly your choices, and where individuals will identify in regard to it as Paul did within the Roman letter, that all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And we all have sinned because we all sin. We all transgress law. Time's going to come in your life of where you're going to say, "I know what's right. I know what I ought to do or what I ought to not do. But I choose to do what I want to do." And that's what is self-righteousness. And when we make that decision, we sever our relationship with God, or we can become reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. So what we are from this day forward is going to determine the decisions that we make in life, and they're going to be affected by our doctrine of what we believe and what we practice in regard to it. We find that Solomon, in the writing of the Psalms, in Psalms chapter 4 and verse 1, or Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, where he put it this way. Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." For I was a son unto my father, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. That was Solomon's reference to his son, that you do this. I had a father and he taught me, and you are my son and I am teaching you, and that's the process of life. And you keep my commandments, and you keep my doctrine, forsake not my law. So doctrines are law. Law is that when we're not legally, we're illegal. You know, if we're not keeping the law, we're outlaws. I mean, that's the point that's set forth. And Solomon's attitude toward it, that doctrine used in the sense of law. Well, we find in reference to this matter of doctrine in the writing of the Roman letter, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul gave a warning to the brethren when he said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the division and occasion of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which ye learned. You learned that doctrine. And you'll find out as you deal with individuals that throughout life there comes a time that within their life they are kind of referred to as strong as horseradish. They hold to the doctrine. They hold to that foundation. They know what it is. Sometimes they become dogmatic about it when they actually don't understand, but they have it. But there is a matter of where you can depend on them. They're going to hold that doctrine. Tell something happens in their family. And then when something happens within their family and one of their family members goes astray or whatever it is, then they begin to reevaluate the doctrine they believe. Well, maybe that's not really the way it was. Because we choose the favor of men over that of God. And so we find that Paul had indicated with the Roman letter that there are those that are causing the division and occasion of stumbling among you that are contrary to the doctrine which he learned. And he said, you turn away from them. Turn away from them. For they that are such. Now one of the things the scriptures do, they tell us what men do. We're all people. We're all men. We're all women. Whatever. Tell us what we do and tell us why we did it. Okay, the Word of God will go right to the bone. You know, we have all of our excuses. Here's why I did this, or here's why I did that. Here's why the Lord says we do it, what we do. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Because of the belly, what it provides for them, and belly used for that which fills them, which gives them life, you know, which keeps them going. That's why we do it. That's why they were causing division and contrary to the doctrine which they had learned for their own benefit. We need to understand, I know you do, but just to reiterate the fact, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the deeds that are done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're evil, we're not going to be able to go up there and say, well, the preacher said this. My own kind of odd way of looking at it, the Lord said, I'll take care of him in due time. We will stand before our God as individuals to give an account that for deeds done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And we need to make sure the decisions that we make and the doctrines that we hold and what we do is not for our own belly. We find that within Ezekiel talked about the shepherds of Israel that fed off of the feed, the sheep, and did not tend to them like they should have been tended. And so we find even the rulers within our world, our nation, some are there for the good of the nation, others there for the good of themselves. You'll find preachers and elders or leaders or whatever the case is that do what they do for what Peter called the filthy lucre sake.
And I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to know. I want to tell you what you want to hear. And as long as you're getting what you want to hear, then you're going to leave feeling better. You'll come back, because I'm going to get more of what makes me feel good in it. Paul told Timothy that you preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season. That's whether they want it, whether they don't. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Reprove is to prove the wrong. How do we prove the wrong? Whether it's your life or mine. How is it proved? It's proved through the scriptures. Are we in accordance with it? Does our doctrine and our practice, is it consistent with the Word of God? We find in Ephesians 4 that there's a warning against unsettled doctrine. Now, this can be avoided, and that's what the Lord had provided when He provided gifts to men, as we find in verses 4 talked about the gifts that He had given to men for their building up. And therefore, He had identified in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, under the work of the ministry, under the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but or by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of the error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. They have to speak truth. Truth in love. It's not always easy. It's not always smooth. It's not always what people like to hear. But when it comes from the matter of love, of seeking others' best interest, here's your best interest. The one thing that we don't want to do, among the many things, but one thing that we don't want to do is because we didn't say something to somebody because we're afraid we're going to offend them, or afraid they're going to hurt their feelings, or whatever the case may be. Or we just don't say anything. I know, man, I've talked with a man.
He's in Midway City. We got talking about the work in here. He'd never been here. But he knew somebody that did attend here. Very influential. And did for a long time. And they worked together for 15 years. These men worked together. And the man never knew that he was a member of the body of Christ. Now, what's really sad about that is the guy I was talking to was a member of the body of Christ. And those two men worked together, side by each, for 15 years, and neither one of them knew that they were a member of the church. How's that possible? How's it possible? And we find that in reference to it, that there's a warning also of being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Well, that sounds good. You know, that this sounds good. And you're going to find individuals going to twist and turn the scriptures, and it'll draw people away that do not have the foundation of truth. And truth is what we have to have. Right, we find that admonitions in reference to this doctrine was given to Timothy and Titus. And as we consider this, we understand that all of these provisions are made for our good always, just like the law of Moses was to the people. So I want to look at what the Apostle Paul had indicated, because in reference to the matter of doctrine, doctrine is referred to within the Scriptures. Different ones. I don't have my numbers there. But 10 of these references, there's not very many references of that of doctrine, that particular term. There is one of learning. Okay. Learning, teaching, doctrine, all these come together. But the term doctrine, here's what the Apostle Paul said unto Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. He identified, I exhorted thee to tarry in Ephesus when I was going to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine. Right? So there was in Ephesus of those that were teaching a
different doctrine, nor giving heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questioning rather than a dispensation of God which is in faith. So you have different doctrine. And he said, I left you there, you charged them to quit teaching a different doctrine. And we'll look in, you look in reference to the Galatian letter. We'll look at it here in a little bit. But he had identified that, I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of God unto a different gospel. Right? Of where they're following something else. They received the message, they received the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and now they're being drawn away. And Paul left Timothy in Ephesus that he might instruct others to quit teaching this matter of a different gospel. Verse 10. He had identified in verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, as knowing this, that law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and unruly, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers, and if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine. Now here's just a few, but if there's anything that is contrary to the sound doctrine according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so he identifies, here's this is, and if there's anything else contrary to it, Timothy had responsibility. Chapter 4 and verse 6. If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now. There's good doctrine, there's bad, there's different doctrine. But that doctrine of belief, of what we believe, in chapter 6 and verse 1, let as many as are servants under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and the doctrine be not blasphemed. Blaspheme is to speak against. Right? You keep your doctrine, that the doctrine be not blasphemed, then you count your own masters worthy of honor. You have responsibility to behave in a manner that others will see it and they will glorify God in what they do. Titus is referred to as adorning the gospel of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is healthful teaching. This is good to your health, physically and spiritually. And they will not heed this sound doctrine, but having itching ears, this goes back to the point of this is what I want to hear. I guarantee you could go somewhere and people there, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. That's the way that works. There was a lady one time that was having some medical problems. And she kept going to this doctor and this doctor and this doctor and this doctor. And some of them told her, can't do anything about it. But she kept going, and there were doctors that told her, well, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this. And as long as they were telling her what she wanted to hear, she kept going back. And all they were doing was just taking her money. Because there was no fixing of what she had. And so we find that there will be those that will do that, that they will turn away from sound doctrine. And therefore Paul said, preach the word. That's your responsibility. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, whether they want it, whether they don't. It doesn't mean we have to be rude or abusive or anything, but stand for the truth. When you hear things that are not according to the truth, what's the phrase that's used in society? The only thing that you need for evil to flourish is for a few good men to do nothing. When you see the evil there and you do nothing, it will continue to propagate itself. We have to do so. I have to say something. At least say something. You know? I don't think that's correct. Let us sit down and see. Study. If you're right, that's what we'll do.
But if you're not, expect the same thing on your part.
And you can do that, all right? We find in Titus 1 in verse 9, of where Paul told Titus that he had left him in Crete that he might establish what was wanting. He said, holding to, and these are those that are qualified as elders in reference to it, bishops, here's their qualifications, and he said concerning them, holding to the faithful word which is according to the teaching, that they may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine, that they would be able to do that. And so they had that responsibility to exhort in sound doctrine and convict the gainsayers, those who were doing it for the purpose of gain, that you convict them, that you charge them and you prove them wrong. That's where reproof comes in. And Paul tells him that you give attention to the doctrine of what's there. Titus chapter 2 verse 1. But speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine. That's helpful teaching. That's sound. That's sound doctrine. Okay? You can trust that it's righteous. It is what you can depend upon within your life. Verse 7. In all things, showing thyself an example of good works, in thy doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is contrary on the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. You speak what's right. Now, there'll be people that'll try to undermine what you're saying, but it's right. It's sound. It's just. It's righteous. Okay. But man does not like to be exposed. But he said, exhort servants to be in subjection to their own masters and to be well-pleasing to them in all things, not gainsaying, not prolonging, or not using the master's goods for your own benefit, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Adorn it. Make it look beautiful. Make it look right. Make it look just. That this is the path to follow. And that's what he has instructed them to do. Holding sound doctrine involves more than just a mere believing truth. It also involves the matter of holding that sound doctrine of walking in the truth. How we walk, what we believe, we find within the writing of John in 2 John. John dealt with this matter under the context, was dealing with specific issues. But generally he said in verse 2 John 1, to the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also they that know the truth. Now verse 9. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not in your house and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. It's not just a matter of believing. It's a matter of taking a stand in regard to that, of walking in the truth. We have that responsibility. We also find in verse 10 and 11, as we read, of not being party to it, not being part of it. Those who do not hold the teaching of Christ, in that term in the King James, is doctrine. We don't hold that doctrine. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. This is a fail-safe. If we keep the laws of God, if we do what He would have us to do, then we don't have to be concerned about what's going on around us and what's going on within the world. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Heed these words of Moses as he gave to the children of Israel as they're about to go into the land of Canaan and enjoy the fruits thereof, as we sang within our song this morning. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, how do you know who's telling the truth, who's not? And here's one that has a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. They'd ask the question, how do you know he's a prophet? Jeremiah said, well, if what he said was true, if it came to pass. Well, what if it comes to pass? You know, what then? The sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto the dreamer of dreams. For Jehovah your God proveth you to know whether ye love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after Jehovah your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken rebellion against Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage to draw thee aside out of the way which Jehovah thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. Now theirs was both secular and religious, their law. Now the laws of the land as well as that of religiously. And he said, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, where does this go? Okay. Now we talked about individuals change their doctrine because of family matters. And he said in reference, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, that is of thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. And otherwise, the idolatry, you're serving something else other than the Lord. Okay? They don't have to say, we're going to go serve another god. They've got other doctrines that are doctrines of demons, as Timothy had been instructed. He said, of the gods of the people that are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. This, let's say, this kept their economy, this kept their laws in place. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of the people. Whoever charged him, whoever proved that what he did was right, had that responsibility. And thou shalt stone him to death with stones, because he has sought to draw thee away from Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this in the midst of thee. They're going to say, I ain't doing that. Okay. Because it ends in death. All right. And if thou hear tell, I just heard about this. All right. They didn't talk to me. I just heard about this. Concerning one of thy cities, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee to dwell therein, saying, certain base fellows are gone out from the midst of thee, and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known. Then shalt thou inquire, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in the midst of thee, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. The problem is that this type of matter, left unchecked, destroy the nation. It's destroyed nations throughout the centuries. And it would destroy Israel. And it will destroy the church. It will destroy the church. If it's left unchecked. And we have responsibilities in the doctrines that are set before us. We find that in reference to this, that within the writing of Rome, a good name, where will I go? What will I do? What, a good name is a good place to start. You know. It talks about the, I don't care, Mormons. Book of Mormon. Where did it come? 2,000 years almost later. 1,500, you know, in reference to it.
of groups that are, and these men, Luther, right? Luther said himself, don't call yourself Luther. Don't do that. But they did. Same thing's true with many others that follow after the man rather than after the word. Where am I going to go? I'm at least going to start with a good with a name, a good place to start, and then deal with the doctrine. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, if anyone cometh unto you teaching any other doctrine, let him be accursed. He told them, he said, I'm amazed. You know, he said, who bewitched you that after you received the gospel, who bewitched you that now you're following something else? And he said that you were running good. You were running well. But they turned away from it. We find that all of this deals with the doctrine. The doctrine must be consistent with the doctrine of Christ. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith that's been delivered once for all. Can we do that? Are we ready to contend for the faith, defend the faith in regard to it? What I need to know about the church is that doctrine is important. And wherever we end up, we need to make sure the doctrine that's being taught is what it ought to be. We've already considered the works of what the local body is to be involved in. You know. And Lord willing, next week we're going to consider the worship. The worship. What we do and why we do what we do. Okay. And we'll do that next week. I appreciate your attention and your patience in this regard. Number 210. If there's any needs that the brethren have,